Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
Hello and welcome to the More Than Wealth podcast with the team from Gold Wealth Management Group. Your hosts for the podcast are Darren Gold and Samantha Hodgkins. Today's podcast guest is Julie Binder. Julie is a senior strategist with Family Advisory and Philanthropy Services Americas, working with client families to think about the impact of their wealth on the people and causes they care most about. She advises families on creating a multi-generational plan focused on values, communication, and family culture. Julie is a big believer in storytelling and the idea that our history shapes the way we approach philanthropy. Prior to joining UBS in 2018, Julie spent nearly a decade with Foundation Source, a provider of comprehensive support services to private foundations. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Gold and Samantha Hodgkins.
Hello, I'm Darren Gold, and welcome to More Than Wealth. Thank you for taking the time today as we shed some light on a very important topic.
I'm Sam Hotchkins, and our mission for the More Than Wealth podcast is to identify what we feel are gaps within traditional financial planning. So today we are focusing on the communication gaps that can exist within a family around wealth, goals, and values. Today's episode, we will discuss the importance of initiating purposeful communication with the next generation around wealth. We'll also talk about some actionable steps you can take to initiate these conversations, and then we'll share some resources available at UBS that you can use to help with these discussions.
We often hear from kids aren't ready to have these conversations, or there may be differences in values, or their parents may desire for control. Or I think we hear most often is, you know, the parents don't want to disincentivize their children or their adult kids. So, and if they are ready, they just don't know where to begin. So here to help us bridge that communication gap is our guest, Julie Binder, with UBS Family Advisory and Philanthropy Team. Hi, Julie. Welcome to More Than Wealth.
Hi, Darren. Thanks so much for having me today.
You're welcome. You know, family is at the core of everything we do for our clients. So when Sam and I were creating this podcast, there was no hesitation, Julie, that you'd be our first guest. So we're very excited to have you on the show today. Why don't we get started with just a brief background of what you and your team do for UBS?
Sure. So our team, Family Advisory and Philanthropy Services, does exactly that. We work with our client families as they think about what the impact is that they want to have on the things and the people that they care most about. Often that is working with teams like you to help clients really articulate, what do we want our wealth to do for us? What do we want it to do for our families? What do we want to make sure it doesn't do to our families? And what do we want it to do for the world? Once they have a sense of what kind of vision they're striving for in those different areas, we can help them come up with a plan, often around communication, financial literacy, or on the impact side, really thinking about what are the problems they're working on from the philanthropy perspective.
That's great. So your team uses the term purposeful communication quite a bit. Can you just elaborate on what that means?
Sure, Sam. It's really about thinking about what is it that we want to tackle from a conversation standpoint? What are the things that we want our family to know? What are those pieces that we want our partner to be clear on? And how are we making sure that we're sitting down and actually having the conversations about those particular things rather than letting time get away from us or just falling into the casual everyday cadence of conversations that we have with our loved ones? Really sitting down and saying, Here are a handful of topics we need to cover. Let's make the time to do that. And let's think about making sure the setting is correct. Let's think about making sure our tone is correct, and making sure that the appropriate people are in the room for those conversations. Because if it affects them, they should be a part of that. So that's kind of what we mean.
I think that's so important, really taking time to sit down and making it a kind of a formal discussion. We always talk about like talking to kids about money and wealth. What is a good age for our clients to really start just talking about money and the concept of money?
As early and as often as you can. Kids starting by the age of 3 have a concept around the fact that things cost money and that money exists and it's a tool. And just like we want to teach our kids to ride a bike or to do various other things around the house that make them a functional member of the household, we want them to learn about money. So think of it as a tool that's going to equip them for the rest of their lives. So start early, start often. Like I said, 3 years old, they have a sense of money, and you can start with even a simple allowance at that age, because kids, by the time they're 7, know and can rank their classmates and peers in wealth based on the houses they live in and the cars their parents drive.
Wow.
And when they're teenagers, I know it's kind of scary, right? First grade. And then by the time they're teenagers, they know how to use Zillow, they know how to Google. And if we are not helping create the narrative around money and its purpose as a tool in our children's lives, then they're creating their own. And that often isn't the accurate reflection we want it to be.
I think that's great. So, you know, I still to this day remember the allowance that I got. It's meaningful. It's impactful. And it kind of changes the dynamic at that age when you start thinking about money.
And Darren, I will say that could be an entirely separate podcast topic for another point in time, because so many people want to know, well, do we do chores? Do we do separate from chores? At what age? How much? All of those things. So we'll table that for next time.
Absolutely. Talk about older kids. So in many instances, a family that maybe had an illiquidity event or, you know, just have never really felt ready to have that discussion. And now their net worth has increased significantly. They have adult children that they haven't had these conversations with. How do people initiate conversations with adult children?
A lot of that depends on where the adult children are in their lives. And I don't mean geographically. I mean from a maturity standpoint. I mean from a career standpoint, all of those other topics. The first question parents often ask themselves is, am I ready to have this conversation with my children? And I think that's the wrong place to start. I think the right place to start is, are my children ready to begin learning about some of this information? And if the answer is no, then the question needs to be, what can I do to get them ready? Because people often think there's this magical force in the universe that's all of a sudden going to get their children ready to learn about money and wealth. And it doesn't exist. The universe does not teach your kids about money. You're the only people who can give your children your values around wealth and money. And for example, if you really want to prioritize your children living in a community where there's a really good school district, but maybe they can't afford a house, maybe your goal is to help them buy a nicer house in that community. Or maybe there's something else that you prioritize as a family. And so only you can give your children those values. But the first thing to do is really kind of step back and take an honest assessment of who your children are, where they are in their lives. And remember that you have to parent the children that you have, not the children that you wish that they were. And so sometimes that can be a really difficult piece of decision-making. If the kids are in a habit of maybe making some bad decisions, maybe you've had to bail them out a handful of times over credit card debt, maybe they're in their early to mid-20s and you're still paying their cell phone bill or you're still paying their rent, it's a really good time to sit down and take stock of what that kid's needs are and work on a plan. And Darren, this is where you and Sam, I think, are so helpful for the client families that you work with, reflecting on and helping them to talk about as a family or as a wealth-holding couple, what does a financially responsible child look like to us? Where are our children in this? Do they need some additional help with financial planning? That might be a piece that for those kids in their early to mid 20s or even early 30s, that your team can be really helpful, helping those individuals kind of craft a plan. if they're in a good, solid place, you feel really great about their career trajectory, the financial decisions that they're making, you can always think about sitting down and having a direct conversation about the family wealth. And you don't have to use numbers. I think that's what scares people a lot of times. They think, I have to use the definitive number, and you really don't. You can talk about things more generally. We've been really successful financially, and maybe we want to start helping you kids out some more. Or as a family, we want to talk about what our strategic priorities are around gifting. Or maybe we want to talk about, as a family, what are the values that we hold most dear? And then what can money be used in order to help influence those things? That kind of self-reflection is usually the first step, and it doesn't always feel like a satisfying answer, but that's what it is.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And, you know, one of the first things that we do hear from clients is that, you know, while I really don't want my kids to know our total net worth, I think that that's a great follow-up to that, is they really don't need to. It's all about sitting down, having a conversation, and just getting that conversation going. So I think that's a great takeaway. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting down at this initial meeting, and you've got your kids, your adult kids, who are ready to have that conversation. What, just at a very high level, you know, what would that initial conversation look like?
Oftentimes, we encourage families to just start with a simple values exercise. We have a card toolkit called the Purposeful Dialogue, for example, that helps a family to articulate what their shared values are. And this is a really neat tool because you can sit down as a family, everyone gets their own deck. You can sort out your top three value words and your bottom one. And Darren, I will say that sometimes people say, oh, my kids are coming from such different places and planets than I am. Mm-hmm. But what's really helpful for a family is they may see that those values are shared. And that is a great place to start, because when you understand that your passions and your purpose and your day-to-day jobs are not the same, the values are what unite a family. So starting with a conversation about, what are our values? What does our shared vision of our family's future look like? How often do we want to get together? What happens when parents aren't gone? How do siblings stay connected? Are there different times that we should be getting together to talk about important things like estate planning? And I will say that, in a lot of these initial meetings, parents will often say, you know, maybe we're now ready to start gifting children something during our lifetimes. They think about the annual exclusion amounts, which is, you know, around $17,000, $18,000 per individual. But it doesn't have to be that. For some families, they may decide, we're going to start giving our children $5,000 a year, and or $10,000 a year, and saying to the kids, this is a gift. It's a gift of love. I'd love to know how you spent it. No strings attached, as long as it's legal. But this is just something we want to do. And that's a really good trick for segue to see how children might handle unexpected income in down the line. So using those annual exclusion gifts and thinking creatively. But conversation around values, shared vision for the future, and even learning from your children, what are some things and topics as a family you want to discuss? It's a really great, easy way to kick the concept of family meetings off.
I love it. I really think, too, when we talk to clients, and when you get up to a certain level of wealth, it really does become a family business. And something that we mentioned to clients, and I think that when you bring in the kids into the conversation, it has to be empowering. It has to be empowering to hear, you know, that your parents really want you to be involved in the process. And I think that, you know, that initial meeting, they can really surprise a lot of people in terms of how impactful it can be. So I think that's great.
I love that. Let's talk about some resources available at UBS. So you mentioned the Purposeful Dialogues cards, which we love. We have some in our desk. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, as well as other resources that people can tap into?
Sure, Sam. So the Purposeful Dialogue cards are a deck of two-sided cards. One side is values words. The other side is images. It allows people to think about what are our individual values? How does that relate to us as a family? And then what is our vision for the future? What are things we aspire to or are looking for? We also have created other toolkits in partnership with our Rising Gen segment at the firm. We created a really neat resource called What Matters Most. This gives you about 35 different topics that as a family, you can sort through and choose from. You have three cards: what matters, matters most, and matters less. And that's a really neat tool as a family to sit down and say, well, what do we as a family want to prioritize over the next, say, 12 months? Do we want to get better about individual financial planning? Do we need to think about estate planning? For a family that's had a significant liquidity event and maybe people are asking around because the business sale was really public in a small community, do we want to come up with a family strategy about how we talk about money with people outside of our family unit? Those are various topics. And for a family to sort through those can be a really useful exercise. We also have kits, a family conversations kit, a money talk kit. We have a philanthropy visioning board. We have all sorts of tools to help families when they've identified, you know, some things that we really want to prioritize as a family are our own financial independence or our views around money and wealth, or, wow, maybe we've been really successful and we want to do more strategically giving back in philanthropy, or philanthropy is a really great teaching tool for that next level of financial education as you want kids to learn to manage money, but you don't necessarily want them to see how much wealth the family has. A charitable giving vehicle can be useful for that. So all of these things can be really great building blocks, and we've created all of these tools so that as families are working with you and your team, they can sit down and have some kind of study aids, I like to think of them as, you know, study guides to help them to think about and articulate and move forward with some of these important goals.
That's amazing. So if any of our listeners are interested, please reach out to Darren or myself. We're happy to provide these resources that Julie just discussed. Julie, you mentioned philanthropy. Tis the season of giving. The holiday season is right upon us. Can you give us just some, I don't know, table conversations that people can have with their kids about their gifting strategy and those kind of philanthropy giving back, especially with the upcoming holiday season?
Sam, I'm going to give you a couple of different suggestions for different age groups.
Perfect.
The first is for younger kids, figure out a way to get them involved, whether it's through a local giving tree where they get to pick a child that kind of maybe is like them so that it's easier to shop and give them a budget. I love that because it's financial education and it's giving. So it's philanthropy at the same time. My boys are 5 and 8. They love doing this every year. They know they have a budget. They have to buy something that the child wants, something that the child can read. And then I buy something that they need to kind of round the gift up. We have a lot of clients who celebrate Hanukkah and they'll turn one night into a night of giving instead of a night of getting. And for that, as the kids are getting a little bit older and maybe more independent, maybe they're on TikTok, maybe they're on Instagram, giving them a budget of, say, $100 and asking them to find a cause that they care about and research something. Little caveat on that, it can be really overwhelming. There's something like 2.1 million public charities in the United States. That's super daunting. So there are charitable resources that allow you to kind of pick a project. So you can always start smaller with kids like that, whether it's granting a wish to a child in foster care or granting a wish for a teacher's classroom. Those are good things that you can do with those slightly older kids. As they get more excited and involved, you can begin to increase that dollar amount or increase the freedom that they have for choosing something all the way up to older kids. And if you have kids in their 30s, maybe you're matching gifts that they're making personally to charitable organizations they care about. Or for kids in their 20s, I'm going backward in age, maybe you match dollars for doers, right? So if your son or daughter is going out and volunteering 5 or 10 hours over the course of a quarter with an organization they care about, consider putting a monetary donation to match their support if that's something you care about. But the biggest thing I will say is if you give adult children a budget, don't get discouraged if the first year they feel overwhelmed and don't do something about it. It does not mean they don't care. It might just mean that they have small children and busy jobs and things going on at home and they were overwhelmed and didn't know where to start. So if they didn't take advantage of it, maybe sit down with them at some point over the holidays and say, hey, can we look up something together? Let's talk about some of the things you're most interested in or the geographies you care most about and help them, because everybody needs a little help sometimes.
I love that. We see that often when people just don't have the time. And so it's a misconception of they don't want to versus they just don't have the time. So I think that's a really important point. Thank you, Julie. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. My favorite is the night of giving. I think that's so impactful. So much information, Julie. Fantastic stuff. So many great takeaways. I'm sure we'll have you on the show again to dive deeper. Like you said, we can go in so many different directions. So you're such a great resource and we appreciate it. So just to summarize today, it's never too late to have the conversation. Or really, sounds like, Julie, it's never too early to have the conversation either. It sounds like, so never too late, never too early. Ask your wealth advisor if you don't work with us. Ask your wealth advisor to help you in these conversations. As always, as Sam said, you can reach out to us if we can help.
And Julie, we have one more question for you. We ask all of our guests just about health and wellness because it's more than just wealth at the end of the day. So what is your one non-negotiable when it comes to your health and wellness habits?
Ooh, non-negotiable. I mean, I think you have to prioritize time. Because if you aren't taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. You have to help yourself first. And both of my boys play travel soccer. They're very intense about it. And so I love to sneak in a run while they're at practice, trying to carve out a little bit of time to watch them, a little bit of time to log some miles, and then a little bit of time at the end of practice to chit chat with the other parents.
That is the best fitness hack I think I've ever heard. Now, are the kids aware that maybe you ducked out for a little bit and came back? Or
absolutely, because Darren, they try to beat me in foot races, and they are not there yet.
I love it. That is fantastic. Great, Julie. Thank you so much for joining us on More Than Wealth today. You've given us some extremely helpful takeaways to begin the conversation with the next gen. And like I said, we will absolutely have you back again soon.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, we're just getting started on this journey together, so be sure to subscribe. Do not miss out on future episodes where we dive deeper into building a life of financial well-being. For Sam Hodgkins, I'm Darren Gold. Thank you for joining us on More Than Wealth.
Thanks, Darren and Samantha. And most importantly, thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast with Darren Gold and Samantha Hodgkins. If you've not subscribed to the podcast, please click the subscribe button below. This way, when the team comes out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. And we humbly ask you to share this podcast, rate it, and leave a review because this actually helps others find the show. Again, thank you for listening. And for Darren and Samantha, I'm RJ Malik, and we look forward to you joining us for our next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.